Good morning, church. Whoa. You guys got your naps in after Thanksgiving. You're up. We are ready to go this morning. Good morning. If you guys don't know me, my name's Chris, and I'll be sharing the message with you here today. As the video shared, we are in the last week, the fifth week of our Black Horse series. I'll share, again, the Charles Spurgeon quote that kind of birthed the idea behind this series, which is, "The Lord's mercy often rides to the door of our heart upon the black horse of affliction." So for the past 5 weeks, we've been looking at the areas of faith, family, friends, and finance. And what we've been doing is looking at this idea of affliction. So the broken things in our life, the things that need to be redeemed, we've been seeing through our own personal testimony, and then also, you know, sharing with one another, studying everything else, that God often uses those broken times in amazing ways to move us forward in life. That it's not always just the sunny, you know, shiny parts of life that he uses. He uses the broken parts as well. And so your job in this series has been to kind of identify with what area, you know, in faith, family, friends, finance, are you afflicted? You know, and then ask the question, what could God be doing? What has he done? What is he doing? And what will he do through the brokenness in my life, through the things I've experienced? And so we continue that today in the area of fitness, actually. And so, which is really normal to do right after Thanksgiving, right? Like, hey, this is what the normal calendar year for every church is, that you guys get your turkey and mashed potato and sweet potato on. Who's a white meat person? Yeah? Dark meat? Yeah. Way to go. All right, here's the real question. Sweet potatoes with no marshmallows, raise your hand. Sweet potatoes with marshmallows. Yeah, you with marshmallow people, you're more fun, all right? So logically, we're going to talk about fitness today. No, so let me share a little bit. We had a lot of fun, actually, discussing how are we going to kind of talk about this and apply the area of fitness to our lives. We're gonna talk about something bigger than fitness, but let me share a little bit of what got left on the cutting room floor. These are some things we almost wanted to talk about and do. So one of the ideas we had was to set up a confession booth for you to confess how much you ate on Thanksgiving. Okay, we were gonna replace all the communion crackers with kale chips. Have the kids do push-ups for their goldfish crackers. All right, and then lastly, we almost did this one. All right. We were going to replace our normal worship time with something like this, and I just want you to check out this video. We almost did this, all right?
Hi, my name is Paul Eugene, and welcome to this Gospel Groove Workout. Reach. That's right, we're going to be dancing in the Spirit and praising the Lord. Reach. On the top, praise walk. That's it.
Couldn't. The other option was to get Dave to do that. He wouldn't do it, though. He just wouldn't do it. So let me calm your fears. That's not what we're going to do this morning. I need us to actually, the word fitness probably doesn't even do justice to what our journey is going to be here today. This is not a talk about getting you fit. This is not a talk about getting you signed up at a gym somewhere. This is not a talk about getting you skinny, anything like that. This is a talk about together understanding how to take care of our bodies in a way that honors God. And so when I say that, I'm not even just talking about our physical bodies. We're gonna talk about both physical fitness and mental fitness is where. So if you're in here and you're 24 and you are a prime candidate for blood donor because you have so many veins popping out of your body and you're like, cool, I can sleep today. Nope, Nope, we're going to be an equal opportunity offender today, all right? So if you're super fit, we're going to talk about your hookup to that, all right? If you are a person that's on the other end of the spectrum, we're gonna all need to come at this from where we're at. And here's what we need to do, though. We need to relate to what you hear to your current situation, to what you can do and control. Not everyone here is in the same boat or even has the same abilities and circumstances. Okay, so as I share about this, I'm not just saying you need to go run a marathon or you need to go to counseling or anything else. Your job is to hear the information and then you and the Holy Spirit get to do a little boxing together and go, what's my next step? All right, because everyone here is different. All right, I speak from a place of a dad on a kidney transplant list and who does dialysis 3 times a week. And so his fitness journey is not obviously going to be the same as mine, nor should it be. Right. And so your job is to go, what's my next step? Now, you may asking, you know, there's probably 2 different places from where you sit. You're looking at me right now. You're either a person who's pretty dang fit and would call yourself healthy. And you're like, yeah, you're not very healthy. I'm not sure I want to listen to you. Or you're the other person that's like, dude, you're 32. Talk to me when you're 60, all right? And then we'll be, right? Right? It's going to be important that you apply this to your life right now. I'm not an expert in all areas of fitness, nor am I an expert in any area of fitness for that matter. But what I'd like to do is share some of my testimony, share some scripture with you, share some wisdom, I think, that, you know, as we've talked even this week in our staff and our people in my life, to go, what is healthy? What does healthy look like? So that's our goal today. Let me define our destination as we go on this journey together. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is where we're going to aim for. It says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So us together are going to aim for the idea that whatever we do with our bodies, whatever we do with our minds, it is supposed to serve as a living sacrifice. So obviously we should ask the question, what is a living sacrifice? The word sacrifice, the definition is anything consecrated and offered to God. A sacrifice is to surrender something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher claim. So the idea is a sacrifice always requires surrender, right? So here's what we have to look at. If we're aiming at it being a living sacrifice, all right, 2 things to remember. Living sacrifices are tools for God's use, okay? 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? And this is the big part that we miss. We love talking about the temple part, all right? In the end, it says, you are not your own, all right? So just as Danny talked about last week, and if you didn't watch the message last week, I would really encourage you to, about finances and money, right? The idea of stewardship, that this body that I have is something that I am to steward. I am to take care of. God has given me a body, and it's my responsibility to take care of it well. The other thing living sacrifices are, they are to be used for worship and not to be worshiped. Okay? This is quite a difference here. Living sacrifices, our bodies, are to be used for worship and not to be worshiped. 1 Peter 2:5 tells us that you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Right? Your job, your body, is to be used as worship to God, but oftentimes we use it to get worship, right? We use it to get attention. We use it to be loved. We use it to be, and you can apply this anywhere, right? In terms of your physical appearance, in terms of you and food, in terms of relationships, everything else, you use your body to be worship. So your job today is to kind of sit in this question as we begin, all right? Can where you take it, and thinking of your body, okay? Your mind, your body, all the above. Can where you take it, how you treat it, what you put in it, and what you do with it, what you join it with, be considered worship to God? Let me read that again. Think about this, right? Your life, right? This is your job, is just you right now, okay? Can where you take it, how you treat it, what you put in it, what you do with it, what you join it with, be considered worship to God, right? Your job Now, as the Holy Spirit begins to convict, begins to say, it's to pay attention, it's to be present in whatever God's saying. Look at this area. We're going to talk about a number of different areas. The worst thing that can happen is you say, okay, I'm going to change these 13 things in my life. I'm so excited. All right, 13 things. Awesome. No, your job is to go, okay, Lord, what's one thing I can do? What's one area that I can look at, that I can give attention to, that I can bring into submission to your will, your good and holy, perfect will for my life? So what we're going to do is follow along the chapter 12 of Romans for our kind of journey today. We read at the beginning Romans 12:1, telling us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not only does it give us the destination, it gives us also the journey that we're to follow. So Romans 12 says this, that we're to begin in view of God's mercy. All right, so this journey. So you right now saying, I want to be a living sacrifice. I desire to align my life, what Jesus says for me to do. So I want to be a living sacrifice. The first thing we do is realize that we start that journey in view of God's mercy. What does that mean? The word mercy in the Bible is this word that we love here, chesed. Right, which is God's steadfast love. So you begin any journey, especially with how you relate to your body, with the fact that you're already loved enough, that you are the beloved of God right where you sit today. So you're not using your body to get more love from anyone else. You're starting from a place of love and saying, I want to worship with my body, not just to get love back. Okay, to continue on in Romans 12, it says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. We could spend through the end of the year and next year talking about all the patterns of this world in terms of how we relate with our bodies that are broken, okay? And it's important, though, to see that the very first thing that Romans tells us to do when we're trying to be living sacrifices is to not do something, right? The first command is, hey, there's a whole bunch out there that you can do that's not good for you, right? For every yes that you say yes to, there's a whole, think of all the no's that you have to say, right? So it's important for us to understand that. One way, in a philosophical sense to understand this is, years ago, there was a psychologist named Freud, and he said this. He said, at the core of human existence, at the core of your desires is this want and this need for pleasure. That was his claim, okay? There was another psychologist named Viktor Frankl that said, no, at the core of human existence, of core of what you want, at the very, very inside of you, you want meaning. But what he said is if we can't find meaning, we'll distract ourselves with pleasure. That is what I would say this world does, all right? That each one of us is giving a calling in life. And when we can't find that, when it gets too hard to do, when circumstance happen and we stop doing that, we will distract ourselves with what feels good, all right? And so for you, that can be anything. You know, hear this today. A person who follows that line of thinking and says, I just want to feel good, can look like a bodybuilder who's worshiping the image of the body, and it can look like what the Bible would call a glutton. And when I say glutton, I'm not talking about someone who's overweight or heavy or anything like that. I'm talking about the idea of overindulgence, right? This can be any area of life. So this can be food, this can be drink, this can be drugs, this can be negative and bad relationships in your life, this can be passive aggressiveness, this can be anything in your world. Okay, but the idea is that we're to be present in whatever's going on in our stories, right? And just know, right, it's very easy, and inside of us is wired this need for meaning, and if you don't have that, you'll just go find something else and to distract yourself with that. And so your job is to be aware. What am I doing? Am I doing that? If I asked you right now, are you fulfilling your calling in life? The meaning, the thing that God put you on this earth to do, are you moving forward towards that right now? Right? If the answer is no, then I think the first thing you would have to do is go, then what am I distracting myself with? Right? Something's taking the same 24 hours of your day as taking mine. So what are you giving yourselves to? We need to be responsible for that. Philippians, Paul talks about the idea that their gods is their stomach. And again, it's this idea that it's not just talking about what we eat. It's an appetite. We have appetites all the time. Our job is to be responsible and be aware of what is my body wanting right now? What is my mind after right now? And is that healthy? If you can pick a point in the horizon, I want you to think right now, 10 years from now, right? Where do you want to be, right? 10 years from now, what's healthy? What's progress, right? There's a point in the horizon, I want to be there, right? Is what you're joining your body to right now, how you're treating your body right now, the way that you're investing in your emotional and mental health right now, does it get you there, right? Play the movie, right? Same characters, same cast of characters, same lines over and over and over again, right? Right? Are you going to get there, right? If the answer is no, then we got to do something about that, right? Which is what Romans 12 tells us. The next thing we do is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, okay? That I cannot stress this enough, okay? This is so huge and so monumental and so hard, okay? Anyone ever sign up for a gym membership at the beginning of January? Ever? All right? Did you look like Arnold at the end of the year, right? Right. Why? Because you knew you needed to work out. You knew it was healthy to go to the gym. You knew it was healthy to eat better and get this plan. All right. But then what happens come February or March or April or anything else? Your mind wasn't renewed. And so you just went back to the old pattern that you knew. All right. Allow me to nerd out for just a second. But your brain is wired in a way that it builds neural pathways. So I think about this way about food. I think about this way about working out. I think about this way about going to counseling or whatever. And so you will just default back to that setting, all right, every single time. You cannot undo a neural pathway. What you can do is build a new one. That's the only way to stop thinking the way you used to think, is build a new, better one that you reinforce and reinforce. And how easy is that? You know to work out. You know that exercise is healthy for your body. You know that eating healthy is good for your body. But do we do it all the time? Right? No. Why? Because we revert back to the old patterns. We never actually renewed our mind. Let me share one area for me quickly. You don't have to raise your hand. Just give me a wink or whatever. Any Diet Coke drinkers in here? All right? Yeah, okay. You're shameless. Good, good. Isn't she pretty? All right? Isn't she pretty up there? I love me some Diet Coke. Okay? Love me some Diet Coke. I am now almost 2 months without touching Diet Coke. Okay? Friends that know me almost always see a Diet Coke in my hand. There's something about that silver can, that cold silver can in my hand, that is awesome, all right, that is incredible to me. And, you know, as I've processed through that, I don't even really love the taste, to be honest. And so I've had to, in making some changes in my world, in my life, I had to go, what about Diet Coke do I love, right? And I had to realize, at the end of the night, all right, I had, just confessing, let's just say several during the day, okay? Several. I kept them going, okay? All right? I would have some during the day, but then I'd always have one, like, let's say 9:30 at night, like everything's done. You know that feeling, especially if you're a parent in here? Kids in bed, books are read, lunches are made, you know. It's not that there's nothing to do, that just no one's dying or bleeding or burning or anything, right? So there's that moment where you just get to exhale, right? That exhale almost always happened with a Diet Coke in my hand, all right? So I associated that feeling with a Diet Coke, right? What I've had to do is reprogram my brain to go, Diet Coke isn't what's giving me that feeling. Actually, having a sense of rest gives me that feeling, and I can replace that. Since then, I've replaced it with reading. I love reading. If you don't, you know me, I say, hey, at the end of the night, I don't just get a Diet Coke. I go and I sit and I get to read. I love reading. Right? But the idea here is that we have to renew our mind. I didn't just stumble across it. It has been ridiculously hard. I had headaches. Right? Anyone else try and get rid of caffeine or anything else in your life? And you're like, I can't. Yeah, because you turn into a monster for like a week. Right? Right? But again, it's because you have to reprogram your brain to say, I got to think about Diet Coke differently. It's not getting my body in a health way where I want it to go. So for us, we're going to look at a couple different areas that I'm going to go through a few, and your job is to go, which one really applies to me? They all apply to us, but which one really applies to me in terms of aligning myself in areas that I need to renew my mind and to become a living sacrifice? So the first of which, diet, okay? Let's just say this. Here's a question to ask when you're going to eat, all right? Food's on your plate in front of you. You want a question to ask? Three words. Is this food? Okay? Is this food? The goal of eating is to put nutrients into my body. Are there any? Most of the things that we eat are just loosely known as food. They're edible, all right? Doesn't mean that they're food, right? God has made our bodies to work with nutrients and proteins and everything else in real food, and we live in a culture today that, let's just be honest, it's really easy to get stuff that's not food. It's the most accessible fast food. Anyone else just have a bad day and want to drive through the drive-through, right? Ah, it feels so good, right? They put a Wendy's in Battleground. That's the worst thing that ever happened to me, right? You ever dip your fries in a Frosty? It's bliss. It's amazing, right? Salty and sweet. I don't know. It's so good, right? The problem is none of that's food, all right? None of that, my body is going, yes, thank you. We were tired and stressed out today, so thank you so much for making us feel better. No, I'm just giving myself sugar. That's all I'm doing, a little spike, all right? And then I'm back down where I was. So the idea is that we are to eat food. You know, and on a nerd out level again, we want to eat and repair our bodies. And our bodies need energy, right? So we oftentimes, let's say I eat a Frosty and I have sugar. My body's supposed to use that energy to repair muscle, repair tissue. What I then do when I overeat with sugar is then I send my body into creating insulin mode. And I'm using the energy that I was supposed to use for reproducing the cells in my body to just create insulin because I had to have a Frosty. And so I'm just, it's a broken loop. You see that? And like, I want to be healthier. No, not my eating does not align with me wanting to be healthier. So my job is to go, what area do I need to renew my mind? Okay, next area, exercise. right? Again, we're all in different places here. Some people, exercise looks like running a marathon. You're a freak of nature. I don't understand you, okay? 26.2 miles is only for a car or a plane. It's not for your feet. but maybe you're wired that way. I'm not. but walking, swimming, running, some level, we are built. God has made us to move, right? Just sitting and being sedentary is not what he created for us to do. And so wherever you're at right now, being healthy means being active. And active is a relative term. You get to decide what that means for you and according to whatever health circumstance you have, right? I know someone today that recently tore an ACL but is walking a 5K this morning. That's awesome, right? She's doing something. She said, I can't run it, and it doesn't mean I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to do something. I can go walk it. I signed up for the dang thing. I'm going to show up to it, right? You can do something, right? Your job is to be active in some way, and so your job is to, is that a gym membership? I know I have friends in here that do they're on bike teams. I know people that do running. I know people that do basketball leagues. I know people that just go walk with their friends, that take a 10-minute walk during their break at lunch, right? Something. We're supposed to move. Our body is built to move. And if you're literally going from sit down to sit down to sit down, I mean, really, like, do a self-audit. How many times are you actually doing something that's heart healthy? You know, when it's healthy for our hearts especially to be used and our heart gets stronger. It's a muscle when we use physical activity. So that's an area. Another idea, big one, rest, okay? Anyone here get 8 hours sleep? Like, yeah, you're awesome, right? We're finding out that so many diseases that we suffer from are stress-related, all right? So what that means is that we think we are people without limits. The Diet Coke stuff for me, for years, I've told people I am a night owl. Stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, get up early in the morning, no problem, right? And then I stopped drinking caffeine at 9:30 at night. And then I realized I'm tired at 9:30. And then I realized my body was always tired at 9:30. I just shot it full of NOS, and I got a couple-hour drift going, all right? But then here's the thing. I would wake up tired. I don't wake up tired anymore, all right? I wake up ready for my day now because my body's not using all its energy to get that stuff out of it and can actually repair what's going on. And so this idea of rest, all right, God's wired it into our beings, and we, especially as Americans, all right, you need to know this is what almost we do worse than anything else, all right? We don't rest. We don't even take time to ask, what does my body need right now? And I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about counseling. I'm talking about mental health. I'm talking about emotional health. I'm talking about creating space in your world to ask, not just ask the question, what does my body need in a physical sense, but what do I need? What am I feeling right now? You ever just stopped and thought that? Like, what feelings do I have right now? I encourage you, go just get a pen and paper and start doing that and see how much comes out, because so much of what's going on with you is going on underneath the surface, and we never even stop to let it out, right? And so we carry all this stress, and then we carry all this stuff, and then it comes out in a really particularly vulnerable moment. And then we realized we were feeling something we never even knew we were feeling. That's why God's wired rest into us, where we can pause and sit in where we're at and be present in our lives. One more nerd out, last nerd out really quick, right? Your brain functions in a certain way. You have this part of your brain called the amygdala. Can you say amygdala? Amygdala. This is responsible for your most powerful feelings. So anger, shame, anxiety, fear, okay? Your amygdala is a bully, okay? The front of your brain is called the frontal lobe. This is responsible for logic and reasoning. This is the part of the brain that 15-year-old boys don't have, okay? Which, obviously, when they have, you know, intense emotions, they don't have the part of the brain that can filter, hey, do I or do I not, right? But ourselves, your amygdala is a bully. So when you are in the emotion of anger, shame, anxiety, fear, you know, whatever is your thing, that is a bully, and it tells your frontal lobe, your reasoning, to shut down. Right? Have you ever said something when you're angry that you didn't mean? Right? That's because the part that's normally the filter is like, whoa, 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 we don't mean that, is shut down, and your amygdala is like, do it, say it, we believe it right now, just say it, who cares, right? YOLO, right? Right? Without giving yourself rest and putting yourself continually in situations, and this, again, think of how far this goes. Going into negative and unhealthy relationships, putting yourself in anxiety places, putting yourself in stressful situations means I'm always functioning out of my amygdala, not the place that's actually going to help me get a plan to get better, right? And so it's just continually, you see, all this is holistic. It's all interconnected. Okay, the next area, purity. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. This is the only time in the entire Bible that it talks like this. So I'll just say this. Pornography, sex outside of marriage, it hurts someone. Sin always carries consequences, and many of us live saying that but not truly believing. Right? It hurts in an intimacy way. It hurts spouses and relationships. It hurts your relationship with God. You're wired to connect with God all day long, right? Pray without ceasing. That means he and I, we're just hanging out all day long, right? And we have these pockets of our lives that say, we say, God, get out of, I'm taking over here. Because why? Because we want to feel good, right? It's not bad to want to feel good. But again, those things did not align you with the point on the horizon that you want to get to. I've never talked to the person that said, I'm so glad I watched pornography for the last 10 years. So glad that I had sex outside of marriage for the last whatever in this relationship. I've never spoken to that human being. All right? And so this is where Paul talks about everything's permissible and everything's beneficial. Okay, so the idea is the place I want to get to in my life, am I aligning my actions with that? And this is one area I just have to say in our culture, it's toxic. It is toxic. It is ruining marriages, ruining relationships, it is ruining intimacy. It is causing people to hide in shame, all right? And then never actually being present in their own lives. And so this is one area, all right? Man, pay attention. Wake up to this, all right? It's doing something, okay? And the last one is Sabbath. You probably didn't grow up doing Sabbath, taking a day of the week and saying this is the Lord's day, because like me, you had the idea, I didn't grow up in church, so when I heard this word Sabbath, I heard a few Old Testament verses about, like, don't tie your sandals and stuff, and what, am I just supposed to go sit in a room and stare at the corner? Because nothing sounds like more like hell than that for me, right? What do I do on Sabbath? And I just want to kind of, again, renew your mind a little bit on this idea of Sabbath. We already talked about the rest. Yes, rest is part of it. The other part is, Sabbath is a day of delight and enjoyment. The idea is that you're taking a day of the week and you're saying, I don't have to do something. I get to do what I want to do today. So for me, let me just share for me, because this is an area I've really tried to work on, observing a Sabbath in my life. For me, that includes reading. I read on my Sabbath. I go to the gym. I talk to very few people. I like you guys, just not on my Sabbath, okay? You're awesome, just not that day. I don't recharge well talking to 1,000 people all the time. I need to get away from human beings. So if you want me to be nice to you on Sunday, I need Monday away from you, right? But that's just me, right? You have to decide what brings you joy, right? We think of it as a negative thing, but there's people that need to go running. There's people that need to create. There's people that need to go on hikes. There's people that just need to gather around food with their friends and family. In some ways, many of us already are observing. We just don't really, we don't recognize that it is Sabbath, right? But there is a day that we are supposed to stop and enjoy and have delight in what God has made and how he's made us to be and the people and the things. And but it takes slowing down. It's important. 1 Thessalonians 4:4-8, and I love how this is read in the Message version, so we're going to read that. It says this: learn to appreciate and give dignity to your body, not abusing it, as is so common among those who know nothing of God. Don't run roughshod over the concerns of your brothers and sisters. Their concerns are God's concerns, and he will take care of them. We've warned you about this before. God hasn't invited us into a disorderly, unkempt life, but into something holy and beautiful, as beautiful on the inside as the outside. If you disregard this advice, you're not offending your neighbors. You're rejecting God, who is making you a gift of his Holy Spirit. That adds a little weight to the argument, right? What you do with your body matters. Not only am I just not aligning myself to be in positive relationships, I'm rejecting how God's created me to live. So to get a little perspective on this, because what I want to do is create space for wherever you're at in your world. And, you know, again, like I said, it can be really easy to be like, well, you don't understand my story. You don't know the circumstances I have in my life that are hard to get over and everything else. And I would say I don't. But I know God does. But I think we need to get to a place where we are present in those circumstances and say, what's next? So to do that, I want to share a quick video with you guys. If you've ever heard of a gentleman named Nick Vujicic, he has a ministry called Life Without Limbs. And he was born with phocomalia, which means he was born without all of his limbs. And so I want to watch a quick video. And this is a man without arms and legs talking to a whole bunch of teenagers with healthy bodies and arms and legs about life and about God. So let's watch this.
I'm your age. I'm not too much older than you teenagers. I'm only 25. And I tell you, man, there were some times in my teenage life where I didn't see a reason to live. And as you can see, I have no arms, no legs. And I tell you, it was difficult at times just to think, if there is a God, if there is a God who loves me, then why did he make me without arms and legs? What kind of life am I going to live? I looked at my life from age 8, and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't see a life that is worth living. There is this promise that God gives us. And I want you to know that no matter how far you are from this book, no matter how far you feel away from God's purposes in your life, the victory is when you realize you can't do this on your own. I couldn't do this on my own. I tell you, I had so much fear about what people thought of me, fear of the future, but I know that with God, he doesn't give me a spirit of fear and he has all the details taken care of. When you think that God has forgotten you, know that the Word of God says this, that first of all, you heard it tonight, he's got more precious thoughts of you than all the grains of sand in the world. He has your name written on the palms of his hands. God has a plan and a hope and a future for you. I am not here for you to compare your suffering to mine. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here tonight to tell you this, that no matter who you are, no matter what you are going through, that God knows it, he's with you, and he's going to pull you through. But it gets even more exciting. Listen to this, guys. I want you to catch this. Why does God let us go through circumstances? Well, guess what? I asked God for arms and legs. He didn't give me arms and legs. I thought that he needed to do a miracle in my life before I could relate to somebody and bring them to the knowledge of Christ. But God told me in my heart, Nick, you are the miracle. But you can't argue with this miracle. A man stands before you today without arms and legs with a smile that you cannot argue with. I want to tell you why God maybe lets you go through what you're going through. Because imagine that you come through what God's brought you to. And he may not change your circumstance straight away. But people who are going through the same thing look to you and see how you have found hope. you can be used more powerfully than me to change somebody else's life. Why? Because I've never been anorexic. I've never been in a broken home. I've never been abused. And imagine in 10 years' time, you get through what God has brought you to, so that in 10 years' time, you would bring that hope to somebody else. And I tell you, man, that journey, all it is, how did you do it, Nick? How did you do it? With God by my side, one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time.
It's pretty powerful. Proverbs 13:12 tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but the desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So many of us in this room, we have hopes and we have desires that we want to succeed in, and we're not moving forward in them out of fear, out of anxiety, out of whatever is going on in your life. And you need to hear that's making your body sicker. That's what the body says. You're wired to overcome. You're wired to become a wounded healer in your world. Now, there are three different types of characters in story, okay? There are heroes, there are victims, and there are villains. Heroes affect a story in a positive way. Heroes are always looking for redemption. They're redeeming the story. They're saying, I'm not comfortable with what is, and I'm going to change what is, right? In a positive way. Villains are always affecting the story in a negative way, right? They're trying to tear the story down. Victims don't affect the story at all. They just have the story happen to them. Who do you want to be in your life? Listen, we're talking about this idea of affliction. So as I share this, there are probably a million things and voices in your head of why you can't do what you're supposed to do. I can't do it. I can't. I know I can't. I don't know how to do that. There's all these voices screaming saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. Call those shame gremlins. We don't listen to them, okay? We don't listen to them here, all right? We listen to hope, and there's something beautiful, all right? Let me ask you this question. If whatever affliction, when I talk about the mind, when I talk about the body, whatever affliction that has happened to you, that is happening to you, if you succeed over the rest of your life in convincing everyone else that you've been given a raw deal, that you are a victim, all right? If you succeed 8 billion people on the planet and you convince all of them by the end of your life, yes, this person was, Chris was given a raw deal in life, where will that get you? Does that get you to the point on the horizon that God has called you to? No. It doesn't mean that you weren't a victim. All right? So this can, again, you know what the Holy Spirit's pressing in on you right now. Doesn't mean that you weren't a victim for what you've undergone in your life, what you're going through right now. It just means that staying a victim will not get you where you want to go. Heroes redeem the story. They change it. All right? They become wounded healers. They drag that broken part of their story from the darkness into the light. All right? That's your job. Your job is to say, this is my circumstance today, but I will not stay there. See, the worst pain, right? The worst pain in life, you know what that is? It's the pain of regret. Looking back and not doing something I know I was supposed to do. Now, many of us stand at this place in our life right now, and we look at this really scary thing that we have to cross to get to where we want to go, and it's so scary and we don't know how to do it. But here's the thing. You're going to have to choose your pain. You're going to have to choose the pain of regret, or you're going to have to choose the pain of walking into uncomfortable and scary. Because you're going to have to, one's going to happen to you, right? So it's your choice which one you choose. Now, have you ever heard the song, I'm sure nobody has, Jesus Take the Wheel, all right? I hate that song. It's bad theology, all right? Let me share why. Tell Jesus to take the map. You take the wheel, all right? So often in our spiritual lives, we just want to show up and strap in to this faith roller coaster and just sit down and get zoomed around up and down and say, wasn't that a great ride? But what God says, and this is a Viktor Frankl quote, the gentleman talking about meaning earlier on, he said that God did not create us to live in reaction, but to be co-creators of a meaningful life. So you sit in your circumstance right now waiting for a rescue from God, and he's saying, get up. You sit with whatever has happened to you in your life, and he's saying, take a step. You sit as a victim in your world trying to convince everyone that you are one. And he's saying, be a hero. Be a wounded healer. Right? There is something holy, something sacred about actually taking a step forward. It's crazy. Check this out. Ephesians 5, 13 through 14. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. All right, so check that out. You have a thing that's going on in your life that is dark, that you don't like sharing. With. Maybe it's a physical issue. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's whatever is going on. You know what that is. The act of bringing it out into the light not only shines light on it, but it says it becomes a light. So what did he say in the video? Your job is to deal with that thing that's going on, to step into fear, and guess what? Then invite other people that are still stepping in fear, still living in darkness, out into the light with you. If you're a person here today that has done great in this area of, let's say, physical fitness, then your job is not to just take selfies and say, look how good I've done. It's to help someone else that needs to walk out of that darkness. If you're a person here today that has dealt with depression and anxiety and fear, your job is not just to go party at Disneyland, even though that's really fun, right? Your job is to go back and invite other people that are still living in that darkness out of the darkness. That is our meaning as Christians, as Christ followers, is to be wounded healers in this world. And when you're not fulfilling that meaning, your heart is getting sick. Your job is to overcome. This will be the rest of your lives. The quicker, the sooner that we can understand this, the action of overcoming something. Have you ever just succeeded in a goal and just felt good about yourself and felt like I can take the world? That's not an accident. That's how God has made you to be. Go do a new thing, all right? The friend that I have that's doing the 5K, next one, all right, walk a 10K and then a 15K, but not a marathon, all right? That's crazy, all right? That's just crazy talk. What is one way that you can better honor your God with your body? One way. What does the next step look like for you? That step may look scary, right? There are people in this room that have been in bondage for years to bulimia and anorexia, to fear, to pornography, to shame, to worship of the body, to having to go buy so many clothes and makeup and everything else. What would it look like to take one step towards freedom in that area? So here's the question. How do I renew my mind? Let's say you're at a place where I'm ready. I want to do something about this. I don't want to live like this anymore. What do I do? How do I renew your mind? Well, let's share with you how to do this, but I want to tell you through the movie of Star Wars. Is that all right? Okay. The first thing you do is you get a guide. You want to get somewhere in life, you need to get a guide. You need to realize to renew your mind, who's the guide in Star Wars, right? Yoda. You need a Yoda, okay? All right? Luke Skywalker always had the Force. He just didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to utilize it, right? You know to work out. You know to exercise. You know to eat healthy. And that is not enough. That's not renewing your mind. You already know that, right? But you need a trainer, you need a guide, you need a counselor, you need a book, you need some sort of thing outside yourself that's going to help you with some sort of new thinking. Quit thinking you can do this on your own. You can't. You need to renew your mind. That's a healthy thing to admit. I can't do this. I need help, right? First thing you need is a guide. Next thing, all right, you need to get a community, okay? Who is the community in Star Wars, okay? This is a funky bunch here. Check that out, all right? Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, you get to decide who's the Chewbacca in your world, okay? R2-D2, C-3PO, are these perfect people? No, but they're people on the same journey as Luke Skywalker. They're going in the same direction. They're going for the same things. They have the same point on the horizon that they're aiming at. And so you have goals in your life, and you've not aligned yourself with other people that are going the same way, that when you stumble can push you, can help you, right? You need a community. And then lastly, you need to get a plan. What was the hope and plan in Star Wars? Let's blow up the Death Star, right? Let's blow that sucker up. You need to get something that you're aiming at. And most of our goals right now are not scary enough. You need to risk. Most of the things that you want to accomplish in your life are on the other side of fear. And God is asking you to step forward into that. And there is this amazing, redemptive, holy process that happens that once you conquer that fear, that you're able to now be a wounded healer and invite someone else to do the same thing. And this is how revolutions happen. a few people say, I'm not going to live in fear anymore. You know what? Fear is boring. You know what fear wants to do? Leave you exactly the same. Don't ever risk anything. All right? It wants you to stay exactly where you're at. Does God want that? No, he wants you to grow, expand, renew your mind the rest of your life. And for so many of us, shame and fear are imprisoning us, right? Have you stopped dreaming about your meaning? Are you still looking down the horizon and say, what's next, right? What's next? My friend, where's she at? Where's Beverly? Right there. Beverly, she came up to me a couple weeks ago. All right, Beverly is a little older than me, if you can see Beverly right here, okay? She came up to me, tears in her eyes. I believe it's okay to share. Beverly's in her 80s. Tears in her eyes and said, I have so much more to learn. Thank you for that message. So much more to learn. That's the heart we're supposed to have, right? You have a next step to take in your life, and you need to do that because guess what? This community needs you to do that. The people in your life need you to do that. You need you to do that. There's something holy about that process. I'm going to invite the worship team up to sing a last song with us today. And I'll just close with this. We are wired to be overcomers. I wish that wasn't the truth. I wish that this was utopia. I wish that we lived in a way that we didn't have to encounter difficult things and overcome. I mean, I can't even imagine the stories that are in this room right now. That God does, you know? But there's something beautiful when you take that story from darkness into light and you see what God can do with it. I'm not asking you to be better today, but I'm asking you to take the next step forward. Risk enough for that. What if this week we just said the word we were going to have is we're going to be brave? What would it look like for you to be brave in your world? Be brave. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So why do you live there? Right? Talk to your God about the point on the horizon that you want to get to, that you are aiming towards, and then align yourself the way that you use your body, think about your body, think about your mind with that goal. And don't let anything get in the way of that. There's too many distractions. All right, so we're going to sing a song. I just encourage you, we have time. Just spend a little bit of time talking to your God about what's the next step. Get a guide. Go get yourself a Yoda. Go get yourself a community. Risk enough for that. Get yourself a plan and go do it. Right? We got one life. What are you waiting for? Right? Let me pray with me and then just spend some time talking to your God about this, okay? All right. Heavenly Father, man, it's hard sometimes. Can we just say that? Sometimes it's just easier. It's just easier to sit where we're at. It's just easier to want to play the victim, but that does not get us where we want to go and does not fulfill a calling of being living sacrifices. So would you reach down, have an injection of hope wherever each one of us are at right now, that whether you're 13 or 93 in here today, you still have a life to live and you still have a light to shine. And so what are you waiting for? Lord, say that to us right now. I feel like you're inviting us into a next step. So show us what that is. Thank you for this community. Thank you for a whole bunch of cheerleaders along the path. And thank you that we get to do this journey not alone, but with you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is my desire to all.